today on Real Radio.
See, in your legalism, you're trying to judge me and trying to think that I esteem God on a very low level compared to you. No, in reality, because I'm born again, the Spirit of God dwells in me, I esteem every day belonging to God, and I live and move, and in Him, I have my being.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Let's Make a Deal, Part 2, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 3 today, verses 15 through 29. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. In Let's Make a Deal, Part 1, we learned that God made a deal, not with us, or with His angels, but with Himself, and that He guarantees the salvation of all those who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. God is the one who implements, preserves, and brings to pass salvation through faith in Christ alone. For the moment we begin to add works to our salvation, well, we'll be in error, and God's grace would be in vain. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the law is not against the promises of God, but points us towards the gospel. The law was given by God to unveil, unmask, and remove the charade of our self-righteousness and to prepare us to meet Christ. And now, continuing his lesson called Let's Make a Deal, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The first word of the gospel. Anybody know what the first word of the gospel is? You may find it surprising. The first word of the gospel is not, oh, happy day. It's not that. The first word of the gospel is not what you might be thinking. The very first word of the gospel is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The law is used in the act of repentance. The Holy Spirit uses the law to get you to say the confession. Jesus, I've sinned against you. Father, I've erred, and God, I don't deserve you. The law is at work. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Peter knows something about this. Peter fell down at Jesus' feet, says the Bible, and he says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Confession. God can work with that. It's the person who says, God, you know, I'm something. God cannot work with that person because they see themselves as righteous in and of themselves. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we see that the law points and directs us to the fact that we're sinners. Romans 7, verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would never have known sin, Paul says, except through the law. Now we see here in this word transgression in verse 19, the word transgression is a pretty amazing word. The word in Greek is parabasis. It means this, the breaking. It means a direct violation, to err with intent. So what do you mean to err with intent? It means this. I read in a book one time, the best description of this. A man took his daughter to a basketball game, a professional basketball game, and she was quite antsy, and he said, honey, you can go anywhere you want in this stadium, but don't you dare cross that line down there, because you go out there, you're going to get hurt. There are big boys running around. Don't cross that line. You can do anything you want, sweetheart, but don't cross that line. And so that little girl went just pigtails and all that stuff bouncing down the aisle. And she goes, and he's enjoying the game. And his friend nudges him and says, hey, isn't that your little girl down there? And he looks, and that little sweetie is looking right back at her dad. And she's got one leg up in the air and the other leg standing just this side of the line. And she's looking at him like, what are you going to do about it? And she plants that foot right onto the court. That's transgression. It is to err with intent. I know what's wrong, I know what's right, but I'm going to do the wrong thing anyway. That's called transgression. To sin is a different word altogether. To sin, it's an ancient Olympic term. It means to pull out your arrow. You draw back as you're shooting at the target, and you launch that arrow, and it doesn't matter if the arrow misses by a mile or misses by a quarter of an inch. If it missed the target, the judge would yell back at the archer, sinner! And the guy would say, oh, man. And he'd have to sit down. The next guy would get up. And if that guy missed the target, that judge would say, sinner. The word sinner means to miss the target. Who hasn't missed the target? If you haven't, we need to talk to you right away. Different from sin, transgression is willful intent. Jesus came, by the way, the Bible tells us, under the law, that he might fulfill the law for us. In verses 19 to 20, we also learn regarding the law not being greater than the promises of God is that the law needed a mediator. God's promises don't. He gives you those things directly in the Bible. He tells you. Now, look, I don't know how you're doing, but I hope you're doing well. But if you're not, you ought to read the Bible because it's full of promises. Feeling kind of under the weather? Read the promises of God. Watch what happens. Why? The promises need no mediator, but the law does. Verse 19 continues, and it says, it was appointed. That was, the law was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. That's Moses. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. The law is not greater than the promises of God because the law needed a mediator. Acts 7:53 says, regarding the gospel and the giving of it and the law, who have received, the Bible says, the Jewish people by the law, by the direction of angels, and you have not kept it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard regarding the gospel, lest we let them drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by our Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The law was given through angels, given to Moses, then given to the people. But God gave his promises directly through Abraham, which he recorded in his word for us. That puts us right at a parity with Abraham. Isn't that amazing? If you believe in Christ, you are sons or daughters of Abraham. That's a powerful thing. Our third point this morning is in verses 21 to 26. The law is not against God's promises. The law is not against. There's no contradiction regarding the law. You say, well, Jack, it says here a moment ago that it was added. Doesn't the Bible say that we're not to add anything to God's word or take away from it? Yes, that's exactly true. But you must understand that God himself gave the law. And not only did he give the law, in the very law given, are you listening? In the very law given, it anticipated the coming of the gospel that you receive by faith. The gospel that you have revealed to you in your New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. What is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. Very important. It is not, as we learned in Galatians chapter 1 and then chapter 3, it's not another testament. God does not give another. The law stood, listen, I love to say this. Can you listen? Because I love to say this. The law stood only after God had first given the gospel. In other words, the law was sitting down, as it were, in eternity outside the minds of men. The law was only in the mind of God. Holy? Yes. The law is an extension of God's holiness. But it was not given. God didn't give the law to Adam and Eve. He didn't give the law to anyone else. He didn't even give the law to our father of the faith, Abraham, did he? The law came hundreds and hundreds of years later. Why? Because God established his relationship with mankind, first of all, by promise. The law is sandwiched in between the giving of the gospel. Not gospels, gospel. Abraham was saved how? By keeping the law or by faith in the Lord? Yeah. How are you saved today? By keeping the law? No. Same way as Abraham, huh? But sandwiched in between is the law. And it stood as a sentinel, as it were, a declaration pointing to the righteousness of God and man's inability to live up to the holiness of God. Oh yeah, God makes a deal. But he only makes a deal with himself. When he, as we mentioned before in Genesis 15, agreed with himself in that moment of sacrifice as those animals were laid open, their God, because he could agree with no other, he agreed with himself. And I love that. And so in verses 21 to 26, we learn that the law is not against God's promises. The law does not contradict the gospel, but it rather complements the gospel. The law endorses, promotes, points toward the gospel. It stands as a lighthouse, as a beacon. And we learn in verse 21 that the law was given, but it could not give life. Oh man, I tell you, this breaks my heart. For those who will not read verse 21 of Galatians 3, we have friends who tell us, you've got to eat these things on Friday, or you must never eat these certain things at all. Where do they get that from? You must keep the Sabbath. Now, here's the pathetic thing. I could understand a Jew coming up to me and saying, if you want to follow God, you must be circumcised. You must keep the law of Moses. And you must perform the works of the law. I could understand a Jew telling me that today. But when a Gentile comes up to me today and says, you must eat this and not eat that. You must worship God on this day and not on the day that you worship God. I come right back at them and I say, what tribe are you from? What? What tribe are you from? From the 12 tribes of Israel. Which one are you from? What do you mean? Well, you want to keep the law, right? Yes, yes, keep the law, keep the law. Okay, the law was given to my house, Israel, to the nation Israel, to the Jewish people. What tribe are you from? You see, if you're going to keep the law, Paul, who is far more knowledgeable about the law and the Jewish people, because he was one, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Are you, my friend, lawkeeper, a Hebrew of the Hebrews? Let me ask you this. What day were you circumcised on? Because Paul, he was circumcised on the eighth day. Were you circumcised on the eighth day? Concerning persecuting the church, did you do it with vehemence as Paul did? In zeal? Concerning the requirements of the rabbis and the traditions of the fathers, were you blameless? Well, look, if you're going to put a yoke on me about how I am blaspheming God by worshiping him on Sunday, then how do you explain in the book of Romans when Paul says, do not let any man judge you on what day you'll worship the Lord, neither in new moons or Sabbaths or what you eat? Isn't that good news? Isn't that liberating? Can you imagine taking the gospel into a pagan world and telling these pagans, all right, here's what you got to do? And they go, well, how come? I thought you told me how great God is. You mean he can only be talked to and worshiped and bowed down to on a certain day of the week? I love what Paul the Apostle applies in the book of Romans again. He says, one man will esteem one day higher than the other and some man the other. That's their business. He says, me, I esteem every day alike. Hey, come on. Those of you who are Christians this morning, isn't that how you live your life? Don't you esteem every day the same? And the legalist goes, see, look at you. You are a blasphemer, you. I can smell you from here, you blasphemer. You smell like pork. And isn't that a little bit of a lobster stain on your collar? Oh, listen. I join in with my brother Paul and say, I esteem all the days alike. See, in your legalism, you're trying to judge me and trying to think that I esteem God on a very low level compared to you. No, in reality, because I'm born again, the Spirit of God dwells in me, I esteem every day belonging to God, and I live and move, and in him I have my being. You know what? Honestly, I mean, right now, okay, when we used to do services on Saturday nights and Sunday, weren't we worshiping God on Saturday and Sunday? Guess so. Well, what if tomorrow morning, which is my day off, That's my Sabbath, if you think about it. I like what Spurgeon says, pastors and preachers work hardest on the Sabbath. Didn't the priest work the hardest on Sabbaths? The law was only a shadow pointing to Christ. So tomorrow will really be my Sabbath if you want to talk about kicking back. But you know what? I'm having a fine time right now loving the Lord right now. And I'm going to have a fine time tomorrow loving Him on Monday. Are you ready for this? I'm going to worship Him on Tuesday. And Wednesday, I'm going to sing my song. Thursday, the Lord and I, we have a date on Thursday. We're going to go out. Friday, I'm going to meet Him early. Saturday, again, early in His Word. Oh, can't wait. Don't let anybody judge you on what day you worship the Lord. Because if you know Him the way you ought to know Him, every day is the same. Glorious, isn't it? Awesome. You esteem every day the same in Him. The law was given, but it couldn't give life. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not, 21 says. For if there had been a way that the law could give life, then truly righteousness would have been by the law. The law is used by the Holy Spirit to define sin. That's what happens. It governs us. It instructs us. The law does. It enlightens us. But listen, it could not make the people who adhered to the law alive. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Romans 7, verse 7 through 10 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, listen to this, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment. In other words, sin that dwells in me, when the commandment, that is, the law was given, it produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. There was no knowledge of sin where there's no law. You can be going down the freeway, you can be on the highway 150 miles an hour, and you are not breaking the law unless somewhere in the law it says you shall not go over 75. The moment you go 76, now what comes to you? Guilt. Uh-oh. You know how it is? No, you don't, because you guys are wonderful people. But you adjust your mirror, make sure it's clear. Make sure you can see clear. Why? I gotta see if anybody's coming. Gotta see if there's a black and white coming. Why are you concerned about that? Because I'm breaking the law. The law declares what's holy. We break it, and it points to us our unrighteousness, but it points to us also the righteousness of God. And that's important. Paul says in Romans 7, verse 9, he says, I was alive once. I had no problem once without the law. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which I thought would bring life, brought me death. Wow. We learn in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, Paul says, according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purposes and grace, which He has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The law is not against the promises of God. No, in verse 22, we learn that the law was given to convict every man. It says, but the Scriptures, that is the Bible, has confined all under sin, that means all of us are guilty, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The Bible is brutally honest. That's a fact. It has the boldness to say to us, listen to this. It has the boldness to say, if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. It has the boldness to say, if you think sexual thoughts about somebody, you're committing adultery. It has the boldness to say that if you cheat on your taxes, you're a thief. It has the boldness to say that if you can tell somebody what's right and wrong and you do that thing which is right or wrong, you're a hypocrite. The Bible tells us this about ourselves. We don't want to hear it. But those of you who will hear it will enjoy the fact that God saves sinners. Didn't Jesus say in a sarcastic manner? He says, I've come as a doctor to those who are sick. Those who are healthy don't have any need of a doctor. You know what he was saying? Those who are righteous in their own eyes, they're not going to listen to me. A doctor can give them advice and give them prescriptions all day long and they won't take it. But someone who's sick, now they're listening to the doctor. You know what I mean by that? Wouldn't it be frustrating to be a doctor? I tell you what, there's some things that a doctor and a pastor share. Somebody comes and they're sick. It could be physically sick or you're emotionally or spiritually or mentally sick with sin. And you tell somebody, well, I've done this. Read your Bible. Pray. Talk to God. And they don't even listen to you. A doctor can say, listen, if you don't take these pills, if you don't get some rest, you're going to collapse or you're going to die. Well, you know what? I've tried this. And the doctor's got to say, stop trying. Sit down, get some sleep, rest. If you don't listen to your doctor, you're going to get sick or you're going to die. Jesus says, listen, I got the remedy, but will you listen? It was given to convict man. The Bible says that the law brings us under the knowledge of sin. Listen to the grace of God, though. John chapter 8, verse 3 through 9. John 8, 3 through 9 says, then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery. This story has always puzzled me. I'll tell you why in a minute. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. I've always wanted Jesus to say, what were you doing there? We were watching. Now, Moses in the law commands us that such a woman should be stoned. But what do you say? They're trying to catch Jesus. This they said, testing him that they might have something by which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. Don't you love it? He stooped down and wrote in the ground with his finger, as though he didn't hear them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called Let's Make a Deal, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have faith in Jesus Christ and that you share his gospel of grace with others. Let's Make a Deal, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper, and one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. And by the way, you know we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.